Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The following teaching is presented by Father Cedric Pazegna and is entitled, What a Difference Jesus Makes.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned in. I'm beginning a whole new series of programs, 12 programs, having to do with what a difference Jesus makes. Let me share the scripture with you as we begin from the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. And some people brought to Jesus a blind man, and they begged him to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the village, and he spit on his eyes. And then he laid his hands on him, and he said, Do you see anything? And the man looked up, and he said, I see men, but they look like trees walking. And then Jesus again laid his hands on him, and he looked intently, and he was restored, and he saw everything clearly. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to share with you this series, as I said, and it has to do with what a difference Jesus makes. I remember a long time ago I heard a song by Amy Grant, and she sang a song called, What a Difference You've Made in My Life. And that's the real theme of the programs that I want to share with you. And time again, she kept singing, What a Difference You've Made in My Life. And You're My Sunshine in My Night. And then her second verse said, What a Change You Have Made in My Heart. What a change You have made in my heart. You've replaced all the broken parts. What a change You have made in my life. So I want to talk about that. Because I have to tell you, Jesus has made a huge, tremendous difference in my life. I don't have the time to tell you all the changes that have happened in me. I started off as a young man in Massachusetts, and I kind of swallowed the culture, swallowed society. I lived in so much deceit, I just kind of did what everybody else was doing. And I had no idea how far away and how lost I was, how really, for all intents and purposes, I was living in darkness and in sin. And for all intents and purposes, I was lost. I have to tell you, I hope this isn't too blunt for you. I really believe I was on the road to hell. But Jesus came into my life. I allowed the light to shine in my darkness. And now I'm on the way to heaven. Many of you write me, you email me, you buy my resources, you send me emails about your life, and you tell me, Father, I was just flipping through your program or flipping through the stations and I came into your program, and maybe that's happening to you right now. Some of you are Catholic, some of you are Christian, and some of you have no religion, and you're not sure where you're going, and there's darkness in your life, and you're looking for something. And I have to tell you this, this is the whole theme of this program in the next 12 weeks to come. I hope you'll keep tuning in. What a difference Jesus will make in your life. You will be so touched and changed, your life will never be the same. The main thing that Jesus wants to do for you is to bring you to eternal life, for you to live forever with Him in heaven. You have to understand that. That's the prime difference that He wants to make. But, you know, this happened to me over 30 years ago. The other difference that He wants to make in your life is to change you now. As Amy Grant's saying, you know, you've changed, what a change you've made in my heart. You've replaced all the broken parts. He wants to change us in our mind, our thinking. He wants to change our attitude. He wants to give us new passion. He wants to give us meaning and purpose. He wants to help out, reach out to people. He wants to totally, what we call, sanctify our life. He'll change us within. He'll change our behavior. He wants to change us. What a difference Jesus makes in our life. And I think about my own mind and attitude. I'm going to talk about that in subsequent programs and the difference that he's made. He took me from being a very non-religious person, person that fell away from the church, to somebody who loves to worship, somebody who loves to adore God. Well, let me keep moving because I believe that God wants to make a difference in your life right now. And if you're feeling lost, you don't know who Jesus is, I'm praying that your heart will be open to light. And any darkness that's in you, I pray the light of Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I pray the light of the world will touch you. I have to tell you about a woman that I met in Lake Charles, Louisiana. You know, many of my shows are being broadcast in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And I love you folks in Louisiana. You have a great faith down there. Great Catholic faith and other faiths too. This woman in Lake Charles told me, Father, I went to your mission one time. You know, I preach parish missions, and we're going to be having live preaching in subsequent programs to come. She said, I went to your mission, and I was a very religious person. I go to church. I enjoy, you know, worship and that kind of a thing. But she said, after your mission, I realized something. I really didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. And that's what your preaching brought to me. Now, I know that Jesus died for me so that I could be forgiven and go to heaven. Now, I've received the Holy Spirit. Now, I know Jesus in an intimate way. That's what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ. I wrote a book years ago called Jesus, A Personal Relationship with Christ. And it will help you to develop that relationship. That's the primary difference that Jesus makes. He becomes real. You begin to know God. You know where you're going. What a difference Jesus makes. And in subsequent weeks, as I said, I'm going to talk about how he changes us right now. He helps you to look within. You grow. You progress. You move. Your attitude changes. Your mind changes. You become a happy person. Working on a new book right now called You Can Be Happy Right Where You Are. That's the world's disease. Everybody's struggling with happiness and no peace, and they don't know where they're going. They don't know who they are. What a difference Jesus makes. So let me continue. I'll go on a little bit further here and tell you that in the gospel we see, and this is so crucial, Jesus loved to touch people and change their lives. I wrote a book last year called He Touched Me, and I talk about how Jesus didn't just touch people 2,000 years ago, like in this gospel story. He is touching people all across the country and all across the globe. And it's not just the best people. Sometimes it's the worst people. It's people who realize that they need to change. People who are hungry for something different. People who are coming to Christ, no matter what they've done. And wow, what a change. In fact, if you're one of the especially wicked sinners, you're probably a prime candidate for a touch. Well, anyway, Jesus loved to touch people. And what I love about the story that I just read to you was you don't see this very often, but notice the man that he touched, this is the Son of God touching him. He wasn't healed completely. It was a gradual healing. At first he looked around and he says, yeah, I see people, but they look like trees walking. He needed Lasix or something. You know, he needed a deeper sight. So Jesus touched him again. And then he saw completely. Now, you don't usually see these in the miracle stories, but I like this story because you know what? This is what I've found out. People usually aren't changed completely, metamorphosized, translated. They're transformed. And there's a difference between being translated and transformed. And the difference is time. You see, conversion, change, healing is a process. It's incremental. It takes time. There can be an immediate touch, and wow, your life changes. There's a suddenly of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's poured upon you. Wow, you know, you want to proclaim Jesus to the world. But then God works with you little by little. You make progress. Keep changing. I come up with a saying. God gave me a saying years ago. He said, Cedric, I'm not so much interested in perfection as I am in progression. And that's what we're after. You know, I was reading in the paper yesterday, the golf tournament is in town here in Houston. Tiger Woods swing coach, his name is Hank Haney, is in town. And he's giving a clinic, and he talked a little bit about Tiger. He's one of the few people who's in Tiger Woods' inner circle, and he knows a lot about Tiger. And by the way, just to let you know, Tiger has now become the number three golfer in terms of wins in history. He surpassed Ben Hogan. He's now working on Jack Nicklaus's record of 74 victories, and then Sam Snead, 82 victories, but already Tiger Woods is in the 60s in terms of victories. And you'd think he'd have as his goals to have the most victories or to win the most majors. But Hank Haney said this. He said, the only goal I have ever heard from the mouth of Tiger Woods is this. I want to get better. I want to improve. I want to change and get even better. And that's all he ever says. That's what he's working at. The goals, the other goals will come, the most wins, the most majors, best player in the world, best player ever. Those will come, but they're not going to come unless you become better and grow. And the same with you. We change, we're on a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's little by little. It's a growth process. So don't become discouraged if you're not perfect, but don't give up. Keep moving forward. That's the difference that Jesus makes. And again, you know, he changes your mind, your attitude, gives you passion, helps you as a person, gives you happiness. But most of all, you know where you're going, and you have a personal relationship with Christ. So let's talk some more about this. The story about blindness, really, it's symbolic. It's a metaphor. You see, blindness in the Bible, it's not just physical. It always has to do with something spiritual. And I have discovered that people are blind toward God, for example. They're blind about their issues. They're blind in their judgments toward other people. There's some sight, but many people are struggling with their vision. They have vision impairment, and they need to grow. For example, let's talk a little bit about being blind within. I had a man come into confession one time. He's 20 years old. He's in the RCIA process. And he confessed his sins. First time ever, I'm hearing his first confession. And I just have to tell you really quickly, many people are blind about their issues. They run from their issues. They're not willing to look at their sins. They're not willing to look within because they don't want to deal with the pain. And I have to tell you, any of you who are familiar with addictions or recovery or the 12-step program, Alcoholics Anonymous or Overeaters Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, all those. The first step, please get this, is that you admit to yourself that you have a problem. And if you're not willing to look within, unconfronted issues are never, ever going to get better. But if you're willing to look within, that's the first step. And then, of course, you surrender to God. God sheds his light upon you in a whole healing process of recovery. It's not a one-time thing. It's a lifelong process. Occurs. Well, anyway, this young man comes to confession. And it's his first confession, RCIA program, Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, joining the church, first confession. And he comes to confession to me, 20 years old. It was a beautiful, beautiful confession. I'm thinking for the first time, wow. He looked within. He identified a number of different areas in his life. He was very honest about it. And then after the confession, he read his act of contrition, but this is how he read it, with his hand. See, it was Braille. This man was blind. And you know what I thought to myself? I was so moved by that confession. I thought to myself, he may be blind here, but he can see here. And many people can see here, but they're blind inside. Do you know that Jesus preached a lot about what I call the inner life? He talked about, for example, with the Pharisees, he says, look, y'all are worried about what you eat and washing your hands and eating with vessels that are clean. He said, it's not what goes into you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you. It's out of your heart. That's what defiles you. You've got to look within. True religion isn't exterior, it's interior, and it translates into deeds, but it starts within. So I simply want to say, have you been looking within? Not to make you feel guilty, but to understand that when Jesus sheds his light into your heart, it illumines you. It enlightens you so that you can see what's in there, deal with it, so that you can grow and change and move forward. That's the first place that Jesus wants to make a difference, within, and give you that personal relationship with him and shed that beautiful light upon you. I remember I had a seminarian best friend of mine who we used to go to Chicago, and he came from the Philippines. He's used to daylight and light and everything. Well, if you ever live in Chicago, it gets dark there in the winter, and there's all kinds of storms and rain and everything. And we had such cloudy, dark, snowy days, he would get depressed. Make a long story short, he went to his doctor. Doctor said, look, you're dealing with an emotional disease called SAD, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And you know what his prescription was? You know what the remedy was? Light. He says, I want you to turn a light on and keep it on all during the day, and that light therapy will change you. And in the same way, many of us are living in deceit, in darkness, depression, if you will. We need light therapy. You know what light does to plants? Photosynthesis. We can't live on earth without light. Light, I remember I had a cat, she would always lay in the light. You know, light. Plants grow toward light. Light is so important. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. No follower of mine will walk in darkness. And I have to tell you what a difference Jesus makes. So first of all, it makes a difference in terms of your interior vision. And if there's any blindness in you, I'm praying that you'll come to a greater sight. And then, really quickly, we can be blinded by other people. Not by other people, but in our judgments of other people. There's a story in the Old Testament, really quickly, the book of Samuel. Samuel was a prophet, and there was God had called Samuel to anoint the next king. Saul was king of Israel, and so he went to the house of Jesse. Jesse had seven sons, and Jesse parades all these sons and sees the first son, big, tall, handsome guy, and Samuel thinks, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Look at this guy. He's, you know, everybody's going to love him. He's charismatic. God told Samuel, don't anoint him. He's not the one. He prays all these other sons in front of him. They all look good. God said, they're not the one. Finally, he says, do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, yeah, David. He's way out in the field. Nobody thinks much of him. And he says, get him in here. So in comes David. He's a young man. And right away, God spoke to his heart and he said, anoint him. This is the one. He's the king. Because I look at the heart, not at the appearance. People look at the appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And he knew that David was a man after his own heart. And sometimes we can judge people by the way they look, by the clothes they wear. And you ever hear that that saying, you know, never judge a person until you've walked a mile in their moccasins. That's that Indian saying. I really like that. And that came home to me one time, you know, because we're all judged by people. I remember when I was a seminarian in Chicago, for example, I came from Massachusetts. I love to play baseball. And I got to Chicago. I'm a seminarian now, studying on the south side of Chicago. And I remember that one spring day, I went outside and I go, I gotta play baseball. I'm dying to do some sports. And I walk to a park on the south side of Chicago, and I see all these guys are out there playing softball. And I'm thinking, boy, I wish I could play with them. And I went up to the coach. I said, hey, can I just join with you guys? And they said, yeah. So they were shagging balls and everything, and I was hitting balls, and I guess they liked the way I was hitting the ball and the way I was running. And the coach asked me to play on their team, but you have to understand something. All the guys were African American, and I was the only white guy, and I made the team. Little did I know, I was the only white guy in the whole league. It was an African American league of Chicago softball, they call it. It's this 18-inch ball. It's bigger than the 12-inch. So to make a long story short, I ended up playing, it was third base. I batted first. We played a night game one time on the south side of Chicago. I was the only white man probably within miles. And I went to this game. I wasn't afraid. I mean, I love those guys. They were great. Well, I remember going to the game. And as I'm walking up to the plate, you know, I got my bat and everything. The light's on me. I'm white. I'm the only white one, as I said. I must have stood out like a sore thumb. I could feel it. There's a hush upon the crowd. And as I stood up there, I'm just about to bat, I hear this woman scream out or shout out, "What's Whitey doing here? What's Honky doing here? Why doesn't he come back where he came from?" And it was like reverse discrimination. I had never had anybody say that to me publicly. And I thought to myself, this woman has no idea who I am. She's just totally judging me by the color of my skin. She doesn't know I'm a seminarian. She doesn't know that I'm working in a black church. She doesn't know that I'm studying for the priesthood. All she's doing is looking at the color of my skin. And I have to tell you something. If you judge people by the color of their skin, it's a sin. And what we can do is we can just make these false judgments and think we know who people are. But like I said, don't ever judge anybody until you walk a mile in their moccasins. The Lord looks at the heart. People judge by appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we can be blind that way. But most of all, I think that we can be blind toward God. And when we talk about blindness in the Bible, we're talking about our issues, we're talking about our judgments of people, but most of all, we're talking about God. Many people don't know God in a personal way. Many people have doubts. They have fear. They don't understand where they're going. And I remember this man came up to me one time and he sat down with me. He was 82 years old. He said, "I've been Catholic all my life. I go to church. I try to go every week." He said, "Father, I came to you because I have doubts. I have doubts about not only our religion, but does God exist?" And thanks be to God, he's touched me in so many beautiful ways that I shared faith with him and everything. But you know what? I can't put my faith in him. He has to come to that on his own. But what I said to him was this, because some of you are having doubts. Maybe this will work for you. I don't know. I just said, you know what? Doubt is a negative. It's kind of like a dark belief. Why don't you just doubt your doubts? You're believing your doubts. Why don't you doubt your doubts? And really open your heart up in faith, because that's how Jesus works, and his light will be poured into you. His light will speak to you because he is the light of the world. And if you're struggling with being lost or in darkness or depression or despair or doubt, I am praying that this program and the programs to come will make a difference powerfully in your life. I got to tell you about the story of another blind person, Helen Keller. I grew up in Massachusetts, as I was telling you, a little town called Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. It's just south of Springfield, the western part of Massachusetts. When I used to go to grammar school, there was a big statue of a woman there. Her name was Anne Sullivan. And if you know anything about the life of Anne Sullivan, she was employed to be the teacher of Helen Keller. Anne Sullivan was born in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. So that's why her statue was there. Well, anyway, Helen Keller was born healthy, but right after her birth, she contracted a disease, became blind, deaf, and mute. Now, Anne Sullivan was employed to teach her language. How do you teach language to a person that's blind, deaf, and mute? Helen Keller had no ability to self-reflect. She had no language. She was just kind of alive. Well, this is the brainstorm that Anne Sullivan came up with. She took both of Helen Keller's hands. Over one hand, she poured cool, crisp water. On the other hand, really quickly, she wrote the word water. Then she did it again and wrote the word water. Later on, Helen Keller, in her autobiography, noticed Helen Keller wrote a book. In her autobiography, Helen Keller wrote, that was her discovery of language. She put two and two together, that slippery substance of water, and the word was her discovery of language. And what I like to say is this, the Holy Spirit is kind of like Anne Sullivan in us, trying to teach us to hear and to listen. This whole new language. And if you listen really closely, you'll realize that the Spirit is working in you. Have ears to hear, eyes to see. And the Spirit is saying things like, "I love you, I'm with you, trust me, I've been at work in your life. I want to change you. I want to make a difference in you. I want to bring you out of darkness into God's own wonderful light." So really, what a difference. What a difference Jesus makes. And I'm praying over the course of these weeks, as you hear about mind and attitude, passion, going to Mass, worshiping well, the Holy Spirit, a relationship with God, and I'm praying even right now, you will open yourself up to Jesus. Be changed. Remember, it's not all at once. It's a process. It's incremental, but that Jesus would make a major difference in your life and you would live with passion. I'm so glad that you tuned in, and I want to tell you this. For any of you that feel lost, you're in darkness, maybe you've got an addiction, maybe you feel like you're beyond hope, maybe you have doubts, I want to send you a book free of charge called Live Passionately. It's the first book I ever wrote. I'll send it to you. Email me your address or write me free of charge. I want you to have this book because I know what a difference Jesus makes, and I want it to make a difference in your life too. Remember, don't just live. Live with passion. May God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.